Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Thank you very much, Brian. Now, the US President Joe Biden has confirmed that he intends to visit Ireland next month, north and south, to coincide with the 25th anniversary of the Good Friday Agreement. No dates have yet been confirmed, but the US President is not expected to visit on the actual anniversary of the Good Friday Agreement on the 10th of April. It's understood the visit is more likely to take place on the following week. Well, to discuss the significance of it all and the security arrangements that may be put in place, I'm joined on the line by Pat Leahy, who's former Assistant Garda Commissioner and Security Consultant. Good morning, Pat. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Claire.
So when you hear about this visit now, how much of a security operation do you envisage will need to be put in place for something like this?
Well, first and foremost, it's great news to hear it, Claire, because he has an authentic affinity for Ireland. And I suppose Ballina will get a stir in terms of a visit, but it's going to be a real challenge. And first of all, I'd be delighted to hear that it won't happen on the 10th. Well, it would be nice, but the actual planning cycle would be so short, it would present a serious challenge for everybody trying to keep him safe and his entourage safe. But it'll be a challenge no matter what, even a week later is a short working time for them engage in the security.
There's a very short timeline here, and you're saying to coincide with the actual anniversary of the Good Friday Agreement, it just wouldn't give enough time.
Well, look, you'd have to make time for it, Claire, if he decided that he was going to come for the 10th, which would have been fabulous, actually. That would be great. And they would make it happen. But, I mean, if we consider what's happening even after today's announcement, and there was probably something going on in the background before today, but there'll be a series of our senior management meetings now, and they'll be discussing proposed locations, site visits, they'll be discussing the routes, they'll be discussing possible modes of transport, the duration of the engagements, the exposure to risk, and then what mitigation strategies and prevention strategies are available to them. They'll be cancelling annual leave and rest days for members in the adjoining divisions at least, but that could extend to Dublin, and it certainly will for specialist services. Mm-hmm. They'll be engaging, if not already, with the Taoiseach's Department, the Department of Justice, the Department of Defence, the US State Department, the Secret Service, the UK government, and also the PSNI. So there's huge engagement going on, even right now, I would suggest. So they'll be engaging in strategic planning, followed then by very detailed operational planning right up to the day of the arrival and throughout the visit itself.
So logistically, the PSNI and the Gardaí will have history here in terms of coordinating how they're going to police this. What about the US Secret Service, though, Pat? What in your own experience is the level of cooperation between the Gardaí and those guys who will be, I assume, in charge of all of this, will they?
Well, look, they won't be in charge of it, but they have a role to play. And our experience in the past has been very positive. We've worked very closely with the US Secret Service, and they'll be engaging directly with the embassy. And there are embassy staff that are very used to this, and they will have personal relationships with some of the Gardaí involved in the planning of this. So, mm-hmm. Look, we have a very, very good relationship with them. Some of the stories that get out over the years about them demanding this and that aren't true at all. They work very closely, and they have great trust on Garda Síochána in terms of delivering a security solution for them. So, look, that'll work really, really well.
But I'm sure they do come in and say, look, this is what we need in order to keep the president safe.
Of course they do. Look, they have their own way of doing business, but they're not they're not the tight fits that people would have expected them to be. They're quite prepared to listen. They engage and they accept that we're more culturally aware here and more security aware here in Ireland. So they would never do anything without engaging with an Garda Síochána. And there's a great trust that they're building up there over the years. I mean, we've done this many times. In terms of US presidents now in the last 2 decades. So look, there's great trust there, there's no doubt about that.
And if you compare the security operation that was put in place for President Obama's visit back in 2011 and this one, do you think it'll be comparable?
Oh, I think very much so. They're very difficult to compare, Claire, because you can't talk about Barack Obama's visit without talking about Queen Elizabeth in the same breath, because Queen Elizabeth came in on the 17th until the 20th, and then 3 days later on the 23rd, Barack Obama came in. Supposed to stay for 24 hours, but he ended up going out, I think, around 7:30 p.m. on the same day because of the the ash cloud that was closing in on airspace. So, like, he was here for a very short time, and a lot of planning had already gone in to Queen Elizabeth's security, and that was the biggest security event ever in the history of the state. So a lot of the groundwork had already been done, whereas this one will have to start from scratch in terms of Joe Biden, and everything will have to happen as it did for Queen Elizabeth, but maybe not to the same extent, because the security level, there were some differences in the security level.
You mentioned there earlier that what will be happening now, amongst other things, is the cancelling of leave. Now, we saw members of the Association of Garda Sergeants and Inspectors protesting yesterday about roster arrangements. How do you think that's going to play into this big effort now that's going to be required for the US presidential visit?
I think it'll have no impact whatsoever, Claire, because the guards have never, ever stood back from a challenge like this, and they won't do it. Now, the guards would never embarrass the state like that. The guards will turn up, they'll do their job. Now, because of the short planning cycle, again, there'll be a cost associated with this, Claire, and you just have to take that on the shoulder and just go with it, because these planning cycles, you could spend 2 years planning for something like this, and we'll probably get about 3 weeks for it now. So they'll have to pay for it, because there'll be 24/7 engagement from today onwards. And you just have to put up with that, and you have to pay for the security with this. But I wouldn't worry one iota about the sergeants and inspectors. They will turn out, they'll do the job, and they will be a critical part of this security operation, no doubt about it.
I wouldn't be concerned. Would you hazard a guess at how much it might cost?
Oh, I couldn't, Claire, because I'd have to know what the locations are, what routes are going to be chosen, how long he's actually going to stay. I know it's looking at 5 days at the moment, and he may spend three of those down in Ballina, but you'd have to know where he's staying and who's coming with him. And as I say, you need the routes where he's going to be visiting. They won't know that. Nobody will be able to hazard a guess at that until they get clarification on when he's coming, where he's going, how long he's staying there. All of that will add to the cost. There's no doubt about it. They'll certainly have to bring in additional Gardaí from adjoining divisions and possibly regions. But look, you wouldn't be able to hazard a guess at this point in time. But it will go into the millions for sure.
If you had to fill out a spreadsheet, you'd be putting the words "a lot" into it if you didn't know the exact figure, right?
Absolutely. I mean, look, you have to cost down to apples and oranges, literally, Claire, because you'll have to find accommodation and feed guards. Now, where if he decides to stay down in Ballina for 3 nights, we'll say, you have to accommodate the guards before he arrives, and they'll be right up there to the following day probably, and you could be talking about large numbers of accommodation and feeding for guards. So look, it adds up.
They might do well out of this in Ballina if they're clever about it. Pat, good to talk to you. Thanks very much. Pat Leahy, former Assistant Garda Commissioner there. Now, staying with international news, China has warned Britain, Australia and the United States that they are treading a path of error and danger following that deal brokered between the countries to build a fleet of attack submarines. Britain is getting ready to double its fleet after Rishi Sunak warned of a difficult and dangerous decade ahead. And these will be nuclear-powered submarines known as SN AUKUS, and they're part of a 20-year defence partnership designed to counter increasingly hostile nations. They're going to be built in Britain and Australia. They'll use American technology. And I'm joined on the line now by the Irish Times Beijing correspondent, Dennis Staunton. So, Dennis, the plan is that these nuclear-powered submarines will be delivered to Australia. It's seeking to counter Chinese activities in the Pacific Ocean. Tell us more about the reaction, though, in Beijing to all of this.
Well, the reaction has been fairly muted today insofar as they've condemned it and they've said this is going down the wrong path, but they haven't actually threatened any retaliatory action. And I think one reason for this is that the relationship between China and Australia, which had been very bad for a number of years, has been improving since Australia got a new Prime Minister, Anthony Albanese. And so today the Australians have been going out saying, you know, don't forget these are nuclear-powered submarines, but they're not nuclear-armed submarines, and we're not trying to target one particular country, but just in this region, we want to have a kind of a balance where no country dominates and no country is dominated. So I think that, you know, the context in a way is that the Chinese saw this coming. You know, obviously it's been heralded for some time, and they don't like it. But at the same time, it's happening at a time when some of those relationships, China and Australia, and even China and the United Kingdom, the relationship is improving just a little bit.
So for Australia, they need to tread a fine line here, don't they? Because they have very important trade links with China.
Yes, China is by far Australia's biggest trade partner. But of course, the United States is its most important security partner. And what a lot of countries in this region are finding now is that the Americans are putting them under pressure to make a choice, choose China or choose the United States. And most of them don't want to make that choice because they do want to be part, in many cases, of an American security umbrella. But at the same time, they want to have good relations with China, partly because it's a big trade partner, but also because they live here. They live in the region and they don't want to see tensions escalate. And so that's so in a way, Australia is in a similar position to the position that a lot of other countries in Asia find themselves in now.
Now, earlier in the week at the National People's Congress, Xi Jinping was confirmed for a third term as president. And it was at that meeting where he ramped up his rhetoric against the West. And he was speaking about it's all around containment, encirclement and suppression of China. So does that tell us that unease has already been growing between the superpowers?
Oh, yes. I think that the way China sees it is that the United States has moved on from just seeing China as being an economic and technological and maybe military competitor. And what China sees now is, as Xi Jinping said, they're trying to encircle China, they're trying to contain China, and they're trying to hobble China's rise so that when the Americans start banning the export of various sophisticated microchips to China, China sees that as being America essentially trying to cheat in the game of global competition and to hobble China as opposed to simply trying to compete on a level playing field. And so China does see the United States as leading this group of nations, which is determined to keep China down and to prevent China's rise particularly as an economic and technological power.
Mm-hmm. And the British and the Americans say that they're responding. So they're responding to Russia's war in Ukraine, China's aggression over Taiwan, the British Prime Minister saying that both of these threaten to create a world defined by danger, disorder and division. But then on the other hand, Dennis, commissioning these new weapons, that is being seen by China as stocking the arms race.
Yes, it is. And China has also been building up its military over the years. So, I mean, I think there's no question that if you look at the way in which China has developed since Xi Jinping came into power 10 years ago, it has become much more assertive. In the old days, China used to try to play a fairly modest diplomatic role, whereas now China is very openly talking about being a great power. And so the Americans and the British are spooked by that. But as you do see this arms race, or as you see more spending on the military, you see it not just in terms of the spending on the military in Asia, but also with the war in Ukraine. There are more weapons being piled into that conflict from the Western side, at least. China hasn't started supplying the Russians with any weapons, at least not yet. But I think that certainly we are getting into a moment where the more weapons you pile into any of these theatres, the more risk there is that something's going to go wrong.
Dennis, thank you very much for joining us on the programme. That's the Irish Times Beijing correspondent, Dennis Staunton. Damien O'Mara, RT Sports presenter, will be taking a trip around the world and checking in on other sports commentary, some of the famous ones, some of them you will remember, and some of them we're bringing to you for the first time. That's after this.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.